big sloth.
Guys, I'm not jealous of men because I don't have a penis, but I am jealous of the relationships that guys tend to have with their members. I feel like you stroke it. I've heard a lot of you name it. You probably talk to it when you're lonely. That's a pet. That's a best friend for life. My vagina is the roommate I'm afraid to talk to.
Hobo Radio, the official podcast of HoboTrashCan.com. You can share your thoughts on the show anytime by emailing Joel at murphyslaw@HoboTrashCan.com.
Hi, this is Nikki Black, and you're listening to Hobo Radio.
And now, your host, miniature dog enthusiast, Joel Murphy.
Hello again. I'm Joel Murphy. This is Hobo Radio. And with me is Molly Regan. How's it going?
Polly Deegan.
Thank you. Yeah, so you are not Lars.
I am not Lars.
First of all,
I know it might be confusing for some people.
For Lars, specifically, if he's listening to this.
It's going to be a mind fuck.
Yeah, but he's not. I think he just takes it on my word that we have a podcast. I don't think he's ever tried to listen to it.
Is it like a Truman Show type thing?
Pretty much.
Oh.
Yeah. But no, you and I are here and we have a special guest.
We do. It's my new favorite Twitter-ish to follow.
Would you like to introduce?
I would. Was it, you're a Philly comedian, breast cancer survivor, cat girl.
Yes.
It's the formal introduction, correct?
Yeah.
Nikki Black.
Triple threat.
Yeah. That is the
trifecta. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. And we had wanted to bring you on because I had sort of stumbled across something you had written for Medium.
Yes.
In regards to a recent situation with a male comedian saying some fairly unsavory things.
Yeah.
And I was such a fan of your response that I wanted
you
to talk to you. But yeah, I was just, for those of you who aren't aware, Kurt Metzger is a writer was a writer. It's up in the air.
That's very unclear. We can get into that, but the dancing explanation as to whether or not.
The official explanation is that nobody is currently a writer because the show is currently on hiatus.
That's very semantic based.
Yeah.
Well, much of PR is.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But he had some unprompted, really disturbing, borderline supervillainish words in regards to a issue in the comedy community with UCB banning I believe he was a Herald teacher,
mm-hmm.
Because of several allegations of sexual assault, which to me, I read that and just go, oh my gosh, UCB, you're awesome. Like, I'm so glad I've performed at your festivals. Like, yay, woohoo. That was not his feeling at all. God, I don't know if I can even bring myself to say some of the stuff that he said.
No, I mean, I don't know that we need to specifically get in, all right, let's back this up a little bit. So you wrote a response. So you saw he went on what I think is a rant. I don't think there's another way to describe that. But he had very strong opinions on Facebook and on Twitter. And it got a lot of attention. I assume a lot of people listening to this are at least somewhat familiar. But then, so what prompted you then? So you see a comedian going on this rant and you decided to respond.
Right. Well, I'm in a few women's comedy groups on Facebook. And so I saw a lot of women privately sort of responding to this, feeling either upset. So a lot of women had been feeling very triggered that week because I think many people truly do not know how bad it is in the comedy community because you can say that it is a quote unquote boys club. Mm-hmm. But until you experience how awful it can truly be.
Oh, I've left improv communities because of situations before where everyone else just thought, well, it's improv, you should accept whatever happens.
Right.
No, no, that doesn't apply to everything.
Right.
And yeah, I think that's what specifically with this case, because it's been something that's been more in the public awareness.
Right.
It's being talked about more. And then this was a case where, you know, a group of people, you know, went to their institution and mm-hmm. reported something that was happening. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like the system was working. Mm-hmm. And then Kurt Metzger's response was to, I guess, attack the system.
The system, yeah.
He didn't like the
He
setup.
Didn't like that the women had not gone to the police, which he did not even know because he had not spoken to any of the women.
Well, I mean, as we all know, it always works out when you go to the police.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like sunshine and rainbows. Yeah.
That is another thing that you truly do not understand how horrible it is, because I have gone to report an assault and just been stonewalled by three separate officers mm-hmm. just moving up in the ranks.
Yeah.
And it's insane. They treat you like you're a criminal. Like, you're wasting their time. Mm-hmm. They told me to stop being so emotional. It's as if they just don't know how to handle victims. I've heard people who went in to report a rape and were brought into interrogation rooms.
Wow.
So,
you know, it's kind of justified that that may not be the first place that a woman feels
right,
inclined
safe
to go.
Going.
Particularly after, you know, a traumatic experience.
Right. You don't want to layer another trauma on top of a trauma.
Well, yeah. And imagine, you know, you go to a police precinct and it's a bunch of, say, older gentlemen. It's not exactly the demographic you want to be confronting at that moment.
I had trouble explaining that there is sexual assault that exists that is not rape. Which seems like, what?
Yeah.
Like, don't you have a book somewhere with, like, a definition? Or,
right.
I don't, can you Google it?
There
like,
are,
I
don't. They understand there are crimes other than murder, correct?
Yeah, right? Like, yeah. It seems.
There's a lot of stuff that can happen to a person.
It's insane. And it just, at the end of the day, I don't know. I don't know that I would go back to the police. Personally, I don't want to discourage anybody from going to the police.
Yeah.
I think it's worth a shot, but I'm certainly not going to judge anybody who chooses not to.
Well, exactly. And I think that was a very big, from the people really stepping in to defend these women, of kind of going, you know, they clearly saw a solution of sorts to happen and a way to protect other women. You know, if you have a person who was in a position of authority, I don't care, like, that there's a power differential at play in that situation.
I mean, I've gone to improv teachers for things way, way more minor than rape, you know, mm-hmm. like just if somebody keeps continually making weird comments to you in mm-hmm. scenes or putting you in positions that are uncomfortable in scenes.
I've
gone to teachers about that before.
Yeah.
I don't think that anybody should feel afraid for advocating for their own safety or their own feelings of safety.
Well, exactly. When, especially when you're in an improv community where it's supposed to be about, you know,
trust
and honesty and, you know, it's ridiculous kind of what it's trust and honesty until it infringes upon what I want to do right now.
Right.
You know, but Kurt Metzger had a lot of terrible things to say. Very, very loudly. And, you just weren't having it. And I kind of came across you when I was sort of just kind of Googling the situation, and your piece came up, and it was exactly what I needed to sort of meter my feelings of just kind of you sort of speaking for, it felt like some of the women in the community who, you know, were sort of just being, you know, sort of re-triggered and in a sense assaulted.
Yeah.
And of course it was witty and amazing and under, you know, cutting in just the right ways.
Oh, thanks.
what has been the response to it?
Mixed.
Well, also, just to back up a little bit too, like, what did you expect?
Nothing. Like, for five people on Facebook to read it and be like, yeah, you know, like, I was on a lunch break and I was just fuming. And mm-hmm. I was like, I'm just going to write this because I'm so angry right now.
Yeah.
Right. That's like later on, like, people kept being like, there's a typo in the first sentence. And I want to be like, fuck you. Like, I wrote this in a half an hour on my lunch break. Like, I would have edited. I sent it to my friend and I said, you know what? Fuck editing. I'm just going to throw it out because I just needed to get it like out of my body.
Yeah.
And then.
No, it did really almost feel like sort of an emotional exorcism. Yeah. And even from reading it where I'm like, thank you. So mixed.
Yeah, mixed.
So obviously my perspective, which thinks you're just the coolest cat around.
Thank you. Well, the response on Twitter was largely positive. I mean, obviously I have had some people telling me that I'm never going to find a husband or...
Heaven forbid.
Yeah. All kinds of... hypotheses on what my vagina looks like and, you know, just whatever people decide they want to tell me.
Why is... Yeah,
why? I don't know.
There's not so many places I can imagine someone's imagination can go with that.
I know. People are terrible. I don't know what to say. I guess they have nothing better to do, but it just...
I guess.
I mean, even Kurt in his response, one of his responses was like, oh, like, I already, like, came because of this argument, like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you're, like, trying to sexualize my fucking piece in response to you, like, shaming rape victims.
Yeah.
Like, do you understand that you're playing an active role in rape culture while you're denying its existence?
But, I mean, it's fine, right? Because he's totally remorseful.
He's not remorseful at all. I mean, first of all, the link between having been abused as a child and actually being abusive is actually pretty weak. Mm-hmm. It's way weaker than the media would have you believe. Mm-hmm. Being abused as a child does not make you a rape apologist.
No.
And he hasn't learned anything because right now he's so self-satisfied that one of the victims called him. But I can imagine that she might have felt baited, you know what I mean? Because you're reading all this stuff and you're reading this man saying all this shit about you and he knows nothing about you. I would be fucking angry and want to call him too.
Yeah, well, I am a survivor of that and I found that some days I'm totally like, I can stand up, I can speak up, I can fight. And other days I'm just like, I need to go hide in a hole because it just hit me the exact wrong way.
Right.
In something that isn't directly addressing me at all, let alone directly addressing me extremely publicly and extremely negatively.
Right.
You know, I couldn't imagine, like, if someone was doing that to me, I'd probably sit there and go, like, I feel obligated to talk to you because I am in trauma headspace and that makes no sense. So I'm just, you know, confused and sad and you're manipulating that pretty much for your own gain, which...
Because there's so much shame that is put on victims of trauma. And I mean any kind of trauma. Just just saying I have PTSD, which is something that I do have. People will be like, oh, you triggered right now? Or like, oh, you said, like, why? And then you explain. And then they're like, you're triggering me right now. Or like...
I've actually had that happen.
Right.
To me too.
I was on a podcast with comedian Owen Benjamin and he drove me into a panic attack just mid-podcast because he would not let up. Like, he just would not, like, until I fucking... Of course. Had a panic attack and snapped. You know, like, but I it's not something to be ashamed of. That's the thing I don't get in our culture right now is there's this whole culture of shame around victims as if it is something to be ashamed of that somebody did something terrible to you as opposed to the perpetrator being shamed for it.
Even under the best of circumstances of like, you did get proper care, you did get proper justice, you know, and you haven't had an experience of re-victimization, like the best circumstances someone can go through with that, you're still prone to fall into feelings.
Right.
Like that, like, why did this happen to me and not other people? Well, there must be something wrong with me.
Yeah.
You know, which obviously is absolutely untrue. But it's just the reality. So the idea that, like, someone can somehow find comedy in that
right.
or amusement is utterly baffling to me. And the idea that, I don't know, I think it takes a very special person and someone, it shouldn't be anyone's obligation, but when someone takes up the responsibility of going, hey, I'm going to take the burden this time to sort of field your dickish tendencies, I guess, because you're doing this to other people and I feel like I can handle it in the moment. It's just really kind of incredible to me. like, and I mean that very seriously. I think I was reading Barry Crimmins' Twitter. I don't know if you're familiar.
Kurt mentioned him a few times.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a comedian who's very prominent for stepping up and sort of in the early 90s
around child pornography
and because of his own experiences. And he had kind of posted something about, you know, it's not anyone's obligation to defend their victimhood, you know.
Right.
But if you feel like you can do it for other people, then by all means do
it. Go do it, yeah.
You know, and I think I've seen a lot of people kind of coming from these experiences. It's like we almost take turns taking on that burden of like, you know, you'll be the one who's clearly fielding the Kurt Metzger bullshit, and other people will come in and go, hey, I'll take this inevitable next terrible thing someone says, you know, and it's a very protective kind of thing that I think is very cool and really sad that it has to happen. But
I think so, too. And I wish that allies would take up more of the mantle of that sort of part of the emotional work, honestly.
Yeah.
I know that they might have a hard time knowing how to do that or knowing what the right thing to say is, but there are resources.
Yeah.
That you can read, or you can actually take classes on how to be an ally. There are all sorts of things that you can do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, when you think about activism, at least for me, the most important thing is always education. And sometimes when you're stuck in the emotional part, yourself being part of whatever group is sort of being oppressed at that moment.
Yes.
It's much easier for an ally to sort of step up and take up that educational role.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's, you can sort of detach from it a little bit. And because of that, you are able to sort of step up and sort of go, all right, you know, I will come in with the facts and logic instead of the, you know, horrible, you know, traumatic responses.
That's the other thing is women always get criticized for being emotional or not using logic. But even if you look at the situation logically, I mean, logically, you have 3% of convicted rapists ever seeing a date in jail. Mm-hmm. You know, that math equation is not enough for me to inflict like another trauma upon a trauma I just had. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, it just, even numerically, like, why? And I know there are people that are like, even if there's like 1/10, 1/1,000,000,000th of a percent of a chance, and it's like, yeah, but it's really easy to say that when you're sitting behind a computer screen and have never had to deal with this and have never had like the visceral experience of it.
Yeah, no, 100%. Well, and you also have the people who will come in and go like, but what if it's a fake accusation?
As right.
That's, you know, because that's so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I was just bored. So I just decided I would put myself through this horrible
experience. And open myself up to all kinds of criticism and harassment.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, people are very vindictive. People that are not even involved in the actual situation taking place are vindictive because women speaking up feels dangerous to them.
Well, you're taking up space that people don't want you to take up.
Right.
You know, just, it, people want to hear a certain level of comfort, and I think they want to hear comfort from women in particular. And I don't know if that's a you're supposed to be a nurturer or remind me of my mom or just be pretty or whatever it is, but it's just sort of this very narrow space. And when you manage to put yourself just a little bit outside of that, it confounds people.
Yeah, I mean,
angry.
Kurt couldn't stop tweeting about my bangs. Like my baby bangs were like too much for his fucking like brain to comprehend. Like that, he was upset that I wrote this thing, but also my bangs. Like, like that's like the level. Like what? Like why? Like what? I don't. I never even would approach an argument like that. Like,
I mean, it's just a really ridiculous stance to take.
Yeah, one. Or like, and I had people tweeting at me like, "Of course you have dyed hair." Like, it's 2016. Like, I don't, like, I, you know, like, I've gone through chemotherapy and I've lost all my hair before. I don't give a shit what color it is, really. Like, yeah. I just like to have fun with it at this point.
Yeah.
Like, get off my dick. I don't know. That's how I feel. But what you were saying about women sort of taking up the mantle for each other, I think The internet has been pretty revolutionary in terms of female relationships, because there's a lot of ways that society either, you know, covertly or overtly tells women not to value relationships with other women. I think we're socialized that when we see a gaggle of women going to a bar or something, to think, oh, they're stupid or they're...
I can remember very vividly being like around 14 years old. And like, one of my points of pride was that I had more male friends than female friends.
Right. And like, and that's something I hear a lot of feminists say. It's a pretty common experience.
And, you know, God bless my mother, sort of being like, be friends with people because you like them, but that doesn't make you better. Like,
right.
You know, but it really is. And I see it again and again with, you know, young women just sort of like, I just prefer male company.
Right.
Why? Women are catty. No, they're not.
Yeah.
They're not.
Well, it's because there's this idea of gossip. And what is gossip? Why are men afraid of gossip? Because they're afraid that women are talking to each other about which ones of them are dangerous. That's why men fear gossip. That's why men fear female relationships, because trading of information is, you know, something that women have. that is scary to them because it's a threat to the patriarchy. I know how that sounds, but
I mean, I knew when I saw you walk in with those bangs that was going to come out. Well, I mean, you can look at the situation at UCB and go, this wasn't one woman who came through. It was several who I can only imagine said, hey, I don't want to work with this person because, you know, secret uncomfortable experience.
Right.
Well, that's what's interesting is that, you know, for some people, and I guess Kurt Metzger would be one of them, the assumption of that isn't like multiple women came forth, therefore this is more true. It's like they got together.
Yeah. And right. Like conspired.
They plotted.
Yeah. Like somehow that makes it more suspicious.
Well,
that,
it's this,
yeah.
And it's always these like edgy male comedians that have these opinions that are based on these constructs that are like thousands of years old.
Yeah.
And it's like, you think you are so new and fresh, but you're literally like a man from the Middle Ages. Like, you're a middle-aged man from the Middle Ages, and you're yelling at me about my vagina, and I need you to stop. Like, it's always how I feel when I'm talking to them.
Yeah. No,
But I think, you know, there's the tragedy of this situation is because Kurt kind of like co-opted this story, there's a lot of simplifications that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is that everyone's just assuming that UCB immediately believed these women or had a process that was swift and effective.
Yeah, no, it was not. And I can say, coming from an East Coast improv community, smaller theaters, when this story kind of started developing a while ago, started going, hey, we've got to get together and do some sort of sexual harassment classes,
right.
Explain what this is in the, you know, context of scene work and, you know, trust and group work and stuff like that. That was happening a while back. And I remember it directly being like, well, there's some stuff going on in New York.
Yeah.
You know, so if you were really in the community, this is not... I mean, if you're a woman doing comedy at all, this is by no means new.
Yeah.
But to this specific situation isn't even, you know, breaking.
Well, I think to go back, though, like you said, I think people think that it was swift, but then also the sort of conspiracy angle is the thought that the women would have all thought, well, if we come forward, they'll clearly throw this guy out.
Right. Like, it'll be easy.
Yeah.
That it's easy. That it won't be that they can just be like, yeah, he raped me. And they'll be like, OK, that's never happened.
So much. Let's.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's weird is that there is just to get like clear misunderstanding of, you know,
what actually happens.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you need to understand it, just look in the fucking mirror. Like, listen to yourself. You think that everyone isn't talking to women like that? Because they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing is I'm just like, you, the fact that people can somehow defend what he has said in response to this is just a point. It just proves the point of like, you would rather defend a rape apologist than defend rape victims.
Right. You would rather defend something maybe being funny than defend a woman who has been raped, which is like, why?
Why?
Yeah, at that point, why?
What do you gain except, again, your own comfort, I guess, but I don't know if you're a person who derives comfort from, you know, doubting rape victims. I don't right. know how comfortable you really are or can be.
And like people like the, I think the rate for false accusations is somewhere from like 2 to 8%.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I mean, people are like, well, anything is too much. But like, you fucking go swim in the ocean, don't you? You know right. what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
yeah.
you know how to realistically evaluate a threat. You know yeah. how to realistically evaluate a statistic.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, except when it infringes
on
your
on
life.
You, yeah.
Well, so you... Like you said, so you write this article on your lunch break.
Yeah.
You think, all right, well, time to go back into work. Like, yeah. what has it been like for you now? So you're in this conversation, which you maybe didn't expect to be a part of the narrative. But like, yeah, just what, you know, you've talked a bit about just sort of around it, but just specifically, like, what is your reality right now?
It's just so exhausting. It's just like, I mean, it's, I met a lot of really great women, and that honestly is really invigorating.
Yeah.
And it's great to, see people making rape jokes that I actually think are funny. You know what I mean? Things that are nuanced. It's mm-hmm. great to see this community sort of building around, just the necessity of having each other.
Yeah.
But also being visible in a way that I feel like, it isn't always that visible. I feel like Reductress having the entire page of their website about yeah. rape jokes
oh
that
my
day.
God.
Like,
no, that.
Yeah, it was just such a show of solidarity
mm-hmm.
that I think, I don't know.
There's sort of that, that's the myth too, that the argument that you see is like people, oh, you want to shut down like comedic expression, or you're saying there's
right.
things you can't joke about. And it's like, well, that's not the argument. That it's just what the joke is and what
yeah,
you're like.
Like, it's if your punchline is a battered woman, excuse me for not laughing.
Yeah.
Like, what is hard to yeah. understand about that? I'm not yeah. obligated. I'm not infringing on your freedom of speech if I tell you you're a dickhole. Like,
yeah.
that's not,
right. yeah.
I'm not censoring you. I'm just telling you, you are a dickhole. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how people confuse those things. It's,
well, it's also sort of how comedy works of like the response is you tell a joke and either it is okay or like your
right.
people respond
yeah.
or they don't. Like, that's the definition of comedy. Like, you say material and it either connects with people or it doesn't.
Right.
Yeah, it's... No one is obligated to find your shitty joke funny just because...
Right.
I mean, it takes a lot to get up on stage and throw it out there, but that doesn't... We don't owe you our, you know, laughter or appreciation,
right.
especially when you're kind of being a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, that's what you chose to put out to the public.
Like, the public is not obligated to consume your work.
Yeah.
Like, it's you are an entertainer. You know what I mean?
Well, that's always the thing that baffles me is I'm just like, you go into entertainment to connect with people,
right.
to provide, in some ways, provide a voice for people, to say things that other people can't say. And I don't know if the community you're choosing to speak for, the voice that you want to project is that of, you know, rape apology and isn't hitting a
yeah.
woman funny or whatever it is. I mean, I'm sure there's an audience for that.
Right.
But why?
Well, that's what Kurt said to me, that he hates some of his fans. Like, he hates that they harass people. And I was like, well, do you not understand that you're influencing this? Yeah. Like, you have an active role.
You are in, like, the news cycle right now for
yeah.
publicly harassing people.
Yeah, like,
oh my gosh, I can't believe that spilled over into your fan base.
Right. And then if you say, like, well, I've spoken to women you've harassed, he goes, which women? They're liars. You know what I mean? It's like, do you listen to yourself? Like,
yeah.
it's insane. It is literally insane to hear you talk.
Well, and I look at people like that where they just go, it was a joke. I'm like, okay, maybe you shouldn't be in comedy because you're not good at it.
Right. Like, you don't, telling a joke is not a free pass to say whatever you want. That's not how it works. And it's always the same people that, like, don't support a $15 minimum wage that are like, but comedians have the right to say whatever they want and they can't lose their jobs because then what will they do? Like, I don't know, maybe work at McDonald's if you would get the minimum wage passed. You know what I mean? Like, let's yeah. we can fix this together.
Yeah, there's such a weird fundamental misunderstanding of what freedom of speech means. Like, what that actually is
yeah.
like the concept of, the government will not throw you in jail if you say something bad or that people don't like. Yeah. But
Twitter can kick you off their platform.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
They're a private entity.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's.
It's always the same people that are like, I don't want to serve pizza to gays, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And I should be allowed.
Yeah.
That's cool. People are also allowed to boycott your business and laugh at you when you sink. That is also freedom of speech. It's delightful. And it's always the same type of person who's defending that. Like, you just
an anime avatar.
Yeah. An egg.
Like an X next to the name. This is free Milo in the bio. Some of my favorite people.
Your fan base, right?
I feel like Twitter is in... I don't know. I'm curious what's going on with Twitter as I'm watching. Because they seem to be... Lately, they're trying to think about addressing it or trying to come up with some kind of plan.
Right.
You know, so which is, I think, a good sign, I guess. But I don't know, maybe that's a question. Not that this is, you have to decide this, but just to throw it out there.
No, I will.
Okay, so you're in charge of Twitter now.
Okay, thank you.
We have that power. We've appointed you. You're the Twitter czar.
Okay.
But what is, I guess, the happy medium of, you know, there's expression and free discussion, but not harassment? You know?
Yeah, I maybe make people take a quiz on it before signing up for Twitter. You know, just 10 questions, and if you don't pass, you can't sign up for Twitter.
What are the questions?
Oh, they're just which which of these is an opinion and which of these is a threat?
I mean, they make you take that, are you a robot quiz? I think it could, go along with that.
Yeah, are you a troll?
Exactly.
A rampant misogynist? Take this quiz and find out.
Read this article, and now respond to it.
Yeah.
You can either.
Is this woman A, a writer, B, a cunt?
C, Hitler.
D, worse than your mom.
Well, that's on a happier note. Let's back up a little bit and just talk about sort of your, comedy journey. I think we mentioned at the top that you started out in Philly.
Well, yeah, I started doing stand-up in college, but it was so few and far between. It was kind of I was in stand-up club. There were two rival comedy clubs in my college because we didn't fuck around. But I was in the one you had audition for, so yeah.
And so was that just always an interest, or was it one day you saw
I wanted to date the president of the stand-up club? And we did for about a month. But
that's how I got into your improv troupe, right?
Yeah, it was really,
we're still really good friends, but it didn't work out. But and then I just really liked it. I've always been a big talker. Not always. Ever since I started talking, when I was 16, when I overcame as a child. I mean, when I overcame my crippling social anxiety for a hot minute in high school. Yeah, I grew up the best. So I guess I've always been a writer too. I've kept a journal since I was in the second grade, pretty obsessively. It just seemed like an apt outlet. And then I got really into it when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, just because it was a good way for me to sort of process everything that was going on.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
From a distance. Because I was 23. It was what?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I had no family history or anything. So it's
just
totally
a complete anomaly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting my genetics tested right now, so we'll see.
But okay.
Who knows?
And so with that, talking about comedy and addressing subjects. Was that something for you? Was it difficult to sort of process, like, how to talk about it or how you wanted to address, you know?
My family is always really embarrassed of me because I'm the person that, like, if the waiter at a restaurant goes to my dad to, like, pay the check automatically, I'm like, why did you do that?
Excuse you.
Excuse me, sir. I want to break down some, some social misconceptions that you may have. it's never really difficult for me to talk about it. I think what is difficult, because the stage is a nice, it gives you a nice little distance from the audience. What is difficult is when you get off the stage and then they come up and they talk to you.
Yeah.
And then you have to deal with whatever reaction they had. Also, as a woman in comedy, I think there's this perception that you can say whatever you want to a female stand-up because she is somehow obligated to take it as a joke or to just be, like, chill about it.
Yeah, don't you want to be one of the funny ones?
Yeah. Which I'm not into at all anymore. But yeah, I moved to Los Angeles like right after I was finished chemo. But while I was in Philly, I was doing a feminist podcast with a couple of other Philly girls.
Oh, very cool.
And I was running a Victorian comedy show at a theater, like, all the way through chemo, so it's keeping busy.
Is kind of the most fantastic string of words I've ever heard. What is a Victorian comedy show?
It was called House of Black, and I hosted as this crazy sort of steampunk character, and my co-host was Maya Butler, who was really tired of dealing with me, and then we'd just have regular stand-up guests on, and then we'd sort of interact with them.
Oh, cool.
So it was like half sketch, half stand-up, 100% real weird. I liked it, though. I do like Victorian jokes, like, who is the greatest chicken killer in all of Shakespeare's works?
Who?
Macbeth, because he did murder most foul. Which is like a literal that's like from a Victorian joke book. Like,
yes.
They were so lame.
So when I think of Philadelphia audiences, I always think of it like in the framework of sports where they can be very passionate, but very challenging.
But they're Philly's very real. I think it gets a bad rap. But you know what the thing is like, I would have most of my problems came when I was performing in the suburbs of Pennsylvania and not necessarily in Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, I normally wouldn't have a problem with audiences. Mm-hmm. Just because I have a foul mouth that is endearing to them. They like brazen women in Philly, I would say. The suburb shows are more difficult.
But is it a good comedy scene? Like, is it a pretty supportive?
Yeah, it's definitely a good comedy scene. It was very supportive when I was going through cancer.
Oh,
And it's definitely growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that kind of, like, mid region of the East Coast is kind of growing. I know Baltimore's got more
of a scene. Well, nobody can afford New York City.
Right. Yeah, so everyone's splintering.
Yeah. I mean, Philly's a beautiful city. There's so much history there.
Yeah.
There's a great death museum there. Mm-hmm. Or not death museum, medical oddities is what it is.
Yeah.
Mutter Museum. Edgar Allan Poe was there for a while.
Edgar Allan Poe has been everywhere.
I know.
I had this like odd thing where I keep ending up in cities that claim, because I lived in Boston for a while. I lived in Richmond.
Yeah, Boston's a big one.
Yeah, Boston, but like Richmond, Virginia claims Poe. Baltimore, like he just all up and
Philly's
down.
Philly's definitely got a mural. Yeah.
But Baltimore has the fact that that's where he married his cousin and died.
Right.
So we
the best parts.
Baltimore.
You know, the parts you really want to claim.
The juicy stuff. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, no, he wrote, that's cool and all, married his cousin.
Yeah. He went to a lot of places. He didn't make it out of Baltimore.
Nobody does.
Yeah. So LA, was it, you kind of mentioned that after your treatment was when you came out, was that sort of...
It was half, I just needed a change.
Understandable.
And half...
Why?
I moved out here for an asshole, just like everyone else. So that didn't work out, but I'm still here. So I like it. It's sunny.
Yeah.
Yeah. it's weird coming from sort of the East Coast to come out here.
And right.
Like, people are weirdly smiley and like,
yeah, don't... it took me, I kept saying when I moved out here, I was like, it's like everyone's got like a layer of cellophane over them because I'm used to the East Coast where it's like a pissing contest to see who has had the worst life.
You yes. know what I
mean? And that over here, people like don't want to say anything.
Yes. No, I,
it's always like somebody's friend's got a buddy who's brother, like
well, what was it we stayed when we first moved out, we stayed with my friend in San Diego for a while and it was just, how can you be sad here, like it's beautiful and the weather's perfect and there are beaches, and I'm like, yeah, but like I have chronic depression issues, my health is failing, so I feel kind of sad,
right?
And just like, no, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
like,
but have you tried surfing?
I can't. I physically cannot.
I work right on Hollywood Boulevard, and I was having a really bad day, and I was kind of like tearing up and walking, and this fucking cat woman was like, "Cheer up, life is beautiful." And I was like, "You don't get to say that to me. Like, it smells like piss. I'm on Hollywood Boulevard. Like, you're dressed up like Catwoman. It's 90 degrees. You can't be comfortable. Like, can you
the number of
drop
people
it for a minute?"
Yeah. The number of people I have heard sort of be like, how can you be unhappy here? And I'm like, oh, it's a challenge because I will take that on. I can be unhappy anywhere.
So do you have to walk past that sort of, like every day at work, do you go past sort of the
no,
characters?
I got my parking got changed because I had an incident where a man threatened to punch me in the face, and I said, you're going to punch me in the face? Because he said, I'm going to lay you on your ass like the little bitch you are. Oh, and I was like, Jesus. Fucking do it. And we went across Hollywood Boulevard with him screaming that at me and me threat, like being like, do it, punch me. And of course he didn't. And I was like, you never talk to a woman like that. And then of course, like, cried immediately after.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Like, horrified. My coworker was like, I think she needs her parking spot, like, change the back, because those guys are always like,
oh, Jesus.
The Spider-Man, I don't trust any of them. I will never talk to a Spider-Man.
I don't trust anything that has spider
it
in
it.
It
was like there were two Spider... It was a Spider-Man and a Batman yelling at me. And then the tourist was the one that threatened to punch me in the face because he was like, you leave those men alone. And I was like, don't tell me what the fuck to do.
First of all, he's not really Spider-Man. Like, just so we're clear.
If he was, I don't think I'm a threat. Like, none of your logic is adding up. Like, you're going in six different directions. None of that.
We've only been out here for a little bit of time, but every time, like, I feel like we always accidentally pass Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh.
Like, oh, God, we're driving past Hollywood Boulevard. And
never
then it's
go
just.
There.
No, and it's that. I don't know. I just look out my window and I'm glad I'm in my car, like, wanting to be far away.
Well, I can deal with that fairly well because we would go to New York fairly frequently. And, like, to get to the buses, like, inevitably would have to cross through Times Square. And you go through Times Square with a backpack or a suitcase. I mean, you're getting accosted.
Right.
And it was fairly recently we went, and we're walking through Times Square, and I'm just like, all right, let's go. Like, I just want to get out. And I have a backpack on.
Mm-hmm.
I look like a tourist. And a Minnie Mouse comes up to me with her arms wide open and is doing this, like, hi! Me, and I literally put my hand up and just go, no, and just walk past. Like, not even realizing there are, like, children around.
Yeah.
Just like, why are you treating Minnie Mouse that way? She needs to go fuck herself. Like, I have no tolerance.
I don't trust
that.
Anyone in a costume where I can't see them.
No.
Why would you?
I can't deal
why
with it.
Why are you
it.
Hiding your
I've
face?
I've never been able to deal with it.
No.
No, I think that's healthy.
Yeah. I mean, like, I went to Disney when I was 14. I was miserable.
Yeah, you're the opposite of the mentality, because I know the whole Disney thing is like, never take your mask off.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm like, I need to know.
Yeah, I would feel a lot better if you broke character for 5 minutes.
Tell me your fears. What did you really want to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Let me see the humanity in your eyes. You know what I mean? Like, I don't. Oh, I don't like
it. I have
it.
Bad news for you. There's none left. It's just more upsetting. Oh, God.
So what, like, since coming out to LA, what has been, do you have a goal or do you...
What? No, I just like to have fun.
That's fair. You're allowed.
I don't know. I've just been doing stuff, you know. I would like to eventually write a book is what I would like to do about breast cancer, but I don't even know where to begin. I've been doing shows. My boyfriend and I run a show. It's on hiatus right now, but it's called High School Girls.
Oh, cool.
And he's a writer for We Bear Bears on Cartoon Network.
Okay.
Yeah, which is a great show. So we had a lot of fun at Comic-Con this year. But I also...
Which is filled with people with masks. So the fact that you had a good time is good.
It's like less masks than like just full body makeup, I feel like. Yeah. Though. But So we run a show. I've just been, you know, kind of bopping around doing my thing, figuring it out.
Yeah. I mean, I realize at 26, you're kind of the anomaly there, but...
Yeah, I mean, I also do work, I work in PR for Trailer Park, which is a movie that cuts movie trailers, so I'm sort of in and around entertainment all the time, so I just really enjoy that aspect of being out here.
Is PR for a movie trailer, is it just people yelling at you that you gave away
too much? I do PR for the company itself, so... not for the trailers, but I do tweet about the trailers on our social media.
So you're just like putting out there's a new trailer.
Yeah, like, hey, look at this cut we did. Yeah. Don't you love it? I know you do.
You're going to see this movie no matter what we put out there.
Yeah. And then I also do PR for a company that does trend forecasting for millennials and Gen Z. So I do a lot of, I spearheaded a study on representations of women in television and stuff. So there's been a lot of opportunities for me to sort of inject my feminism into everything that I do.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. It's kind of impossible to not find something for yourself in this town. I'm figuring out, like, there really is just a complete spectrum of like buttoned up to bizarro cat ladies on Hollywood Boulevard.
Right. Yeah.
So with us, like, having just moved out here, is there good, like, if you're jonesing for that East Coast, like, vibe, have you found, like, spots or, like, where can someone yell at you to get out of the way?
I don't know, man. I've been looking for it. No place is dirty enough. Like,
right,
you know what I mean? And even if it is, it's like the beer prices throw me off. I can't even, you know what I mean? Like, I can't even get too drunk. And,
yeah.
Like, get in a screaming match with a stranger. Right. So the point? Like, like Philly, it's like $3 for a shot of whiskey and a PBR or something, you know?
No, yeah. Like anywhere you go in Baltimore, there's going to be one night where like there's $2 Natty Bows.
Right.
Like,
yeah. I was just, my boyfriend's from Rochester. So I was just back in Rochester. I love Rochester. It's such a great city. I miss the East Coast a lot, but the job market is just not there.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's same thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people were like, yeah, you can do everything you want to do in Baltimore that you can do in LA. And it's like, no, that's not in any way correct.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like I had cancer, but it turns out that doesn't make your student loans go away for some reason. So like I need to work. I have medical bills and student bills and I need a job. I mean, I have one, but that's why I'm here. And
right,
not there.
Exactly.
Yeah. I find I take out like little rebellions where I just jaywalk across like four lanes of traffic.
Yeah. Or sometimes I get up early when it's a little bit cooler.
Yes.
And I just pretend.
No, I caught myself yesterday. I was sitting out in my backyard drinking coffee and was like, oh, I'm a little chilly, and went and got a jacket. It was like 72 degrees. I was like, it's happening. I'm turning into one of them. Like, I can't. Like, I was so grossed out at myself.
Yeah.
Like, keep it together.
I went to college at Ithaca, which is upstate New York. Mm-hmm. So I used to be able to handle like super, super cold weather. And I'm so soft now.
I was amazed. I've been here with like 2 months and like just amazed it happened that fast.
Yeah.
I was like, what is happening to me? So then I like have to go out and like, I'm going to drink 8 cups of coffee and I'm going to get really angry at people on Facebook and like just be kind of like, you know, left of center aggressive about everything because I need to remember who I am. And then I'm going to go to, you know, a birthday party at the beach because we can do that now.
Well, to go back a little bit, I think one of the other things that I've seen lately, there seems to be more articles that I saw. The most recent one was like NPR is closing down comment sections, and like a lot of a lot of sites seem to be going to that. And I think, like, just because we were talking about the Twitter thing a little bit, I think we're in like a curious spot of trying to figure out what, I guess, like, online discourse or what that
right.
is.
Right, but like, why? I don't think you need a comment section, to be honest.
No,
like,
and I thought, because the article about NPR, when they talked about why they were doing it, was just, they were like, we realized that it was a small group of people that were doing it, and they were actually, anytime like an outside person would come in,
right,
it would like alienate them, because it is almost this interesting, like, subsect, I think, of, and that's, I kind of wonder that sometimes. It's something like I've been thinking about a lot lately, of just, I do wonder, I guess I want to believe for humanity's sake that, like, the bad part of online, you know, discourse, like the aggressive people, is a very small percentage that, like, gets inflated
right.
the loudest.
Yeah.
I think I just want to believe that. I don't know if that's entirely true or not, but
I think there's truth to that. I think it's, you know, the loudest ones embolden people that otherwise would never say things that they're saying.
Yeah.
So I think it's sort of a,
they lead the charge, yeah. and then someone with their egg
right. like, pops out. Further.
Twitter is a place where I can share dickish ideas.
Yeah.
I will get one of those. It's where the personality quiz comes in handy.
Yeah. I don't know, like, I think that's odd. Again, these are just like, I feel like when the internet started, maybe because it was just less people, that there was more of a sense of like, I mean, terrible things are always happening. I don't want to oversimplify and make it naive, but just like, I feel like there was more of a sense of, this is a way to connect to people, and this
right.
is a way to, like, we all got our free disc from the supermarket to go on AOL, like, kind of, like, we're going to meet some people and we're going to talk. And I don't know. It's just, you have Facebook that basically is just a way to keep in touch with people you already know. And then everything else seems so.
Oh, my Facebook is pretty much a wreck.
Yeah. Like, yeah, Facebook, like, the number of people I know that either are like, God, I think about deleting my Facebook.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's, I don't even know.
If what, I didn't, like, have to use it to promote shows,
right,
I would
right?
not have
yeah.
it.
Like, it's so convenient for just that. For, like,
yeah.
this is what everyone is. If we want to do a thing, you can create, like, an event, mm-hmm. you know, page. Like, for that, it's wonderful. For everything else, it's terrible.
Right.
You know that uncle who said that one racist thing one time? Now he's going to say it 5 times a day, every day.
right.
And it's just, yeah, like, it's the combination of, like, the clickbait sort of culture with then, you know, everyone sort of just self-selects so that they're in their group and are mm-hmm. finding the articles that support their thing. And then their one family member believes the exact opposite thing. So they have, and I've done them. So when I say they, I don't want to pretend that I'm above it, but like, you just have this long drawn out thing where you're like, no, but you don't understand. And then
right.
no one changes their opinion.
Right. Or then they do. And then, like, an hour later, they're like, you know what I've been thinking? And you're like, of course you have.
No, I feel like it's that. And then my other job on Facebook is to tell my mom and my grandmother, nope, go to Snopes. This
yeah.
article
right.
is not happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
This happened 12 years ago.
I know
this
it's
is
not
no longer
satire. This site thinks it's what satire is. I don't know why
yeah,
either. Just stop. Just never go there.
No, you don't need to tell Facebook, you know, this public post to protect your information. They're not going to.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's why I sit there. I'm just like, you are too sweet for social media.
Exactly. This is not, you don't need to be here. Like, there's nothing. I'll email you the photos of the family. You can have them.
But
stop,
I mean,
wishing happy birthday to people on Facebook who aren't actually on Facebook. They can't see it.
Yeah.
They don't know that you did this.
Yeah. You don't have to tag me in every, like, meme that you see so that my wall, like, I don't have the heart to tell my mom, but I feel like 50% of my Facebook is just her going like, hey, look, here's a picture of a dog, like, which is adorable, but like,
not 12 times a week.
Yeah.
Your mom's delightful.
Between that and the fact that she says OMG out loud.
Oh.
Yeah. Also, I'm only doing all of this because she will never understand how to listen to a podcast. Safe.
That's so funny. But yeah, I think there are a lot of loud people on social media, but I think it's not just the social media aspect of it. We're also in a time right now where feminism is it's having a pop culture moment. It's very visible. Women are, because of the internet, having an easier time connecting and building communities and activating on things. People are much more aware of issues. There's also people are getting more unbiased opinions, because if you go to Google and you Google what is feminism, it says feminism is about gender equality. If you go to your dad and you say, what is feminism? Well, you know,
lesbian
who knows?
Farmers.
Yeah, it could be anything.
He's met my dad.
And my dad, trust me. My dad defriended me on Facebook over feminism.
Oh my God.
That's fantastic.
I
know,
I would love it if my dad would defriend me over feminism. Save a lot of heartache. But I mean, I guess to end on more of an upbeat note, are you optimistic?
I'm super optimistic and energized, and I think things are getting better, especially because I work and I look at trends in millennials and Gen Z and stuff. Mm-hmm. I know that more people than ever are identifying as feminists, mm-hmm. and you know, those Gen Zers, they really are all about loving each other, you know, and just like gender fluidity and being really, they want brands to be transparent and stuff like that. You know, they're looking to build a more wholesome world, it seems like.
Yeah.
So that does give me a lot of hope.
I was going to say, so I've read something a while ago about, I guess, Gen Z that was saying they're the first, like, truly multicultural generation where, like, you would have people, even, like, I'm 26, like, sort of be like, you have to go to a very specific school in a specific neighborhood to have, you know, a real multicultural experience.
Right.
And they're saying with Gen Z, they're like, it's not even a curb they have to, you know, step over.
Right.
They know each other. They're talking to each other. They're connecting. So these kind of barriers and hurdles don't exist for them in the same way that they have for every other generation.
Right.
Because they're just so melded.
They're learning it for themselves. They're not getting like secondhand information, which is what builds bias and what builds hate and stereotyping.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of touched on earlier that like for people that want to be allies for this stuff, or that there's things you can do, there's courses like you kind of, so if someone has listened to this and they've gotten inspired, like where would you point them as like, this is a good start to be a better person?
I think, you know, just read up on it. Read feminist publications, read Bitch Magazine, read Feministing, follow some Facebook pages just to get familiar, you know, in your day-to-day life with some of the topics that are coming up, you know, because you can integrate it. Everybody has social feeds. We can integrate this information into our day-to-day experience.
Yeah.
Because people are always like, how do you know so much? Because I like and I follow and I subscribe. You know what I mean? Like, but like really just, you know, make an effort to keep up on it. If you have a question about something, try Googling it first before bothering your friend about it.
That's
honestly
good advice for everything.
Everything. Yes. Yeah. Because I think a lot of well-intentioned men unfortunately think it is the job of women to educate them when, you know, I never assumed that it was anybody's job to educate me, except when I took a literal class on it.
Yeah. When you were getting paid to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's also just a misunderstanding of like not holding an active, aggressive prejudice makes you an ally.
Right.
Like just going like, well, I don't hate women. I have never hit a woman, so I am an ally. It just goes, well, that's fantastic, but that's a very, very low bar.
Yeah. I mean, there's also, you know, I think a lot of activists would say you don't give yourself the title of ally. You like earn that from somebody
else. Yeah, no, 100%. Well, and I think it's very much you can't just sit. You have to actually come out of the woodwork.
Right.
You know, who's going to know you're doing anything if you're just quietly on the side? And I know far too many people who I I know personally are great people who hold great ideals who you would never know because they go, oh, I don't want to get involved in those conversations.
Right.
Like, well, with kind of the height of privilege is to not get involved in those conversations.
And with feminism, it's especially important because the type of men that are being openly misogynistic are the type of men that are more willing to listen to men. Go figure. about that stuff. So it's almost sort of necessary to be able to move forward.
Yeah.
Well, also, so if someone has listened to this and they like you and they want more of you, what are good ways to you know, keep track of you and the things that you're doing?
Twitter is good. My handle is at Nikki Black Attack. That's NikkiBlackAttack, because I couldn't fit the whole word. But it's such a long handle. I should probably change it. But you can follow me on Twitter. I have a Tumblr that I update very infrequently. Just nikitascomedy.tumblr.com. But yeah, I'd say Twitter is probably the best way. I usually tweet about upcoming shows and stuff there. And also, you said this is Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yes, because
Wednesday's date.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's... Okay, so in 2 Wednesdays, because that'll be September 7th, I'm performing at Brooklyn Public House in New York City at 8 p.m. Also.
Oh, awesome.
So, if anybody is listening in New York.
East Coast friends.
Yeah.
Take a day trip.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. It was really wonderful to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
And remember, kids, don't do drugs or you go to hell before you die.
City cross paths every Thursday at 2. Going to class to make your mama proud. I ain't the type of guy you usually hang around. But baby, I got potential. Single time, so let's not waste now. Come and skip class with me. I'll take you to the wrong side of down to the places your mama calls her, the same places I call home and spend childhood. Where time seems to slow down, until you can feel the earth beneath you going round and round. And I can see the crazy in your eyes growing brighter with every word that flies from that mouth. And I know this may sound irrational, but you can't go wrong.
Little bookworm, we doing this or not? Click D not, I confirm. I know you think I'm just kicking high pros like the rest of them Gastons and Fetterline Jones, but I ain't got all the time in the free world. Don't be hollering at just any library girl. Struck me like a Scott Hall dropkick. NWO, the new young hotness. I only make moves on a whim. Let's take this road trip to the middle of Wisconsin, California, even the islands. Party till dawn, wake up and watch adults swim. Oh, you were headed to the bookstore, about to drop a couple hundred on textbooks. Ma, we can flip that money twofold. Throw a house party, charge $5 for the Ken cups. You rap on a roll, I rap Delta Kai. You say dope fresh, I say hella fly. Baby, we're isotopes, different nuclei. On the same table, forever living by.
You can always reach to the party.
I kept saying my secret plot was to bring you over and make you my best friend so we can just make feminist jokes all the time. Has it worked?
Yeah.
Awesome. Finally a win!
Hobo Radio is a production of HoboTrashCan.com. If you enjoyed the show, please rate or review it on iTunes.